Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Yes, he's got a distinct plan for your life and my life. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being godly fathers in our generation. I'm going to begin reading from Matthew chapter number 6. And Jesus has been asked by his disciples to teach them to pray. So we've got to remember who Jesus is. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He's the only begotten of the Father. So he's the Son of God and he's the Son of Man. And he says in Matthew 6 and 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I am fully aware that I'm speaking to a mixed crowd today, and many of you are not fathers, especially those of the female gender. And some of you are not fathers because you just have not become one yet, and some of you desire to be, and some of you say, no, that's not me. And that's choices that we make. But our relationship with our fathers, our expectation of our fathers, and our perception of fatherhood is what I'm going to talk about today. You may be mourning the loss of your father or the lack of a father in your life. Some of you mourn the fact that you never met your father or your father was not a good father. God never intended for us to be fatherless. In other words, he always intended for our parent to be present. Others of you may be rejoicing that your father was present. He was loving and kind. He was a good provider, and he was a godly example. So that's part of the mix, and you may put your fatherhood experience or your experience with a father in a different place in your mind. But I fully understand that the majority of the fathers that I am speaking to today are the first in your family that provided the example of a godly father. There are some of us that we had a father or maybe even a grandfather that was very godly, but many of you, you're the first, and you are trailblazers in your family because your father was not a godly example. We honor you as fathers for becoming submitted to God and his word and bravely changing the way that you live, for breaking the cycle and for setting the pace for the men of our hour. God bless you for doing that. That's a courageous thing. I've heard people say, well, I don't know how to be a father because I didn't have a good father. And that is a challenge in our day. Some people said, and some of you in this church have said, I didn't have a father present at all, so I just had to learn. But thank you for being bold and faith-filled and exampling Christ and sharing your faith as father. Again, I would say, God never intended for us to be fatherless. So what's God's expectation of fatherhood? And so you that are not fathers can look at that and say, well, maybe this isn't for me at all, but it is for you because God's expectation, his setting of expectation for fatherhood impacts the way that he interacts with you and me as his children. Creation shows us God's model for the family. First there was God without man, then there was God in the man. Then there was God, the man, the woman. Then there was God, the man, the woman, and the children. And so there is an order that God has and a structure that God has. God is a God of order. He's a God of order. Thank God for order. I was reading in the scripture just the other day that the Bible says put away all clamor. And that means protest and rioting. God's not the author of protest and rioting. That's just not his way of doing it. He has order. He's a God of surrender and submission. Now, we lived our life protesting God before we came to God. How did we do that? We lived willfully. We lived sinfully. We lived for ourselves and asserting our rights. That's what we were doing before we surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was in rebellion. But God had placed man and woman in a beautiful environment that was the source of all things that they needed to sustain life. And he ordered that garden, and as long as they kept it in order, the order in which he put it, they were good. Perhaps the most important element in the Garden of Eden is described in Genesis 3 and 8. Toward evening, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. Here's a key element. The perfect plan of God for all mankind is revealed in this chapter. God wanted to have perfect communion with his children as a father. He wanted to have daily interaction with his children, with Adam and Eve and all of their descendants, because he'd already told them to be fruitful and multiply. God wants to have regular interaction with you and with me. He came down and he had interaction with them. Again, God never intended for us to be fatherless, for anyone to be fatherless. Now, I lost my father 20 years ago almost, and I miss my father, and I have mementos that remind me of my father, and I rejoice at the relationship with my father. And I was at a memorial service yesterday and heard the two sons talk about their father, and I thought about the things that I were positive and not so positive, and most of them were not so positive, was because I wasn't submitted to my father. And in those moments, there were some not so happy memories, because there was a consequence of my disobedience. But God never intended for a human being to be raised in a godless environment or a fatherless environment. So as I said earlier, some of you grew up without a father present, and you've expressed to me that how greatly that impacted your life. Or you grew up with a father that was distant or cold or cruel even, maybe. And some of you lost your fathers at very young age, either because they disappeared or they died, and you were forced to take the fatherhood position. You had to just kind of step up and become the father. And some of you, like me, were blessed to have a wonderful, godly father. Proper fatherhood can only fully be understood by knowing the Father of all things, for he was the initiator of fatherhood. Fatherhood can never be what God intended for it to be without being in the presence of God, without interaction with God. There's several stages of fatherhood, and I put this very politely. There's the planting of the seed. That's the first stage. Then there's the gestation period, and it gives a safe place for a child to develop. Finally, the child is born, and then the child must be given a safe, structured environment in which to mature. That's what we look at as fatherhood. That's my responsibility as a father. There are two important promises concerning fatherhood given by God in the Holy Scripture. The first one is in Psalm number 68. Now, these promises reveal the nature of God that I preach to you today, the nature of our Father. The first promise is recorded by David, the king, and it was intended to be sung while carrying the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to a public place where the people of Israel could see the ark. And in Psalm 68 and 4, we read, "Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds, by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So he's a father to the fatherless. If you don't have a father or didn't have a father in your life, God is your father. And he said, I'll keep the fatherless children alive. I'll protect them. That's the first thing he does, is he protects and he defends. And the second promise is written by the weeping prophet as Babylon and her armies march against Jerusalem with the intent to destroy it. And in Jeremiah 49:11, we read, leave your fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let your widows trust in me. Through observation, we see that God does not leave his children, and God reaches to those that are without a father and becomes a father to them. The creator of all things would like to be your father and my father. He is our father. We started out with the scripture, our father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the creator of all things wants to become our father. And most of you have been born again of the water and spirit, if not all of you that are present in this room right now. But I want to read from John chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The apostle writes, he, speaking of Jesus, was in the world. The world was made by him, made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. To those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he said, if we receive him, he gives us the right to become his children. The first step in God becoming our real father, active father, present father, is receiving him, is saying, okay, I take you, I'll follow you. And we find in Acts chapter number 1, the people that had received Jesus, they had walked with him, some of them for as many as 3.5 years, have this promise given to them in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he said, if you receive me, you have the power to become the sons of God. Now he says, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive something into your heart. Many years later, the Apostle Paul describes being born again. And I'm going to read a whole bunch of scriptures this morning. Romans chapter number 8. This is to reemphasize to you and to me, the born again believer, the solidity of the fatherhood of God in our lives. And if he's our father, then he will be there. He will provide. He will protect. He will keep us alive. You and I are not sustaining our own life. We may be taking care of our health, but it's God that gives life and breath to all. The days of man are numbered by him. And if God wants to keep me alive in trouble, he'll keep me alive during trouble. In Romans 8:10, it says, and if Christ is in you, everybody say, in me. In me. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So he said, if we receive him, we have the right to become. But now, if we are led by the Spirit, we really are the sons of God. There's a difference between becoming and being. There's a difference with saying, well, I could be his child, or saying, I am his child. It's a process, just like the process of adoption. And we're going to use that terminology a little bit later. So he goes on to say in verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father." So that Holy Spirit was the spirit of adoption. It was a legal thing that happened. We were transferred from being just in the flesh and just having the right to become his child to actually literally becoming his child through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of adoption. And now I can cry, "Dear Daddy." Now I can address him as my father, and that's the term Abba Father, is dear daddy, like a small child coming to a father with expectation that whatever they need or want can and will be provided for by their father. I am so glad we have a father that is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. No wonder we address him that way, because he is our dear daddy. And then verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If need we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So he says, now you're my children and you're an heir with me. Remember what Jesus said after his death, burial, and resurrection? "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He shares that with you and me. So as our Father, we have influence because of our Father. Now, there are privileges that children have as fathers. Or of, because they're of their father. Sorry. So as fathers, we have a responsibility, but if we provide for our children as God tells us to, then our children can come anytime they have need. And they have a right to an inheritance. They have a right to receive. Through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you and I become the children of God, and he literally becomes our Father. So he's saying to those disciples, follow him, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Remember, we are a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. It's a huge difference. So that's why being born again of the Holy Spirit brings us into the family of God, and he now is literally our Father. You and I are going to live forever and ever somewhere. God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul, and everything brings forth after its own kind. I am so thankful for my heavenly Father. This morning, I'm not going to emphasize my earthly father, though I respected him and he was a great father, but I have a heavenly Father who is a perfect Father. He has preserved me. He has never left me. He has always provided for me. Now, here's the problem sometimes with us in our world, is sometimes we think that our Father owes us or should give us stuff that really he doesn't need to. I don't know if you asked something outrageous when you were a kid of your father, and now that you look back, you go, that was pretty audacious. I mean, I asked God, "Dad, we need a new house." And I have no idea what his budget is. I remember one time, "How come we don't get a new house like so-and-so?" I remember my dad's answer. He says, "Because one day I want to retire." And he did, and his house was paid for, you know, so he could retire. I don't know if that guy ever retired. And he happened to be a guy that worked with my father, and I went to school with their kids, and they upgraded their house. And I thought, well, I need an upgraded house too. Of course, I would have only lived in that house 2 more years because I moved out. So big deal if you have an upgraded house. So he knew what was best for me. And I had to accept what my father could provide. Fathers, do not feel guilty because you can't give your children every material thing that they want. It doesn't matter what grade or level we lived at and what income level our parents had. it's just nature. We want something that we don't have. It's just human nature. We're kids. And sometimes we ask for things that it's ridiculous. And our parents could be offended that we're asking for that because they can't provide, or they could realize that's just a child asking. But we have a Heavenly Father that has it all, that created it all, that He was there before time began, and He's going to be there after it's all over. And He's already gone to prepare a place for us. Every once in a while, we'd been driving down the road, and I'd say to my wife, look at that house, and she'd say, you should see my new mansion. Yeah, because someday we're going to get there. We have no idea what it's going to be like. John the Revelator had a little picture into heaven in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and he describes it, and it sounds magnificent. But he said, I didn't have any words to describe it. There weren't words that I could use and speak that would even describe it, so he tries his best. Remember, we are a spirit with a body. So the most important thing is our spiritual connection. It's not your body that's the most important thing. It's your spirit that's the most important thing. And do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? In the writing to the churches of Galatia, Paul, the apostle, emphasizes and reemphasizes the process of the new birth and the extreme benefits in Galatians 3 and 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? There's a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's where you and I are headed. No wonder Abraham never founded on this earth. So you and I have been born again of the water and the Spirit. Now we belong to Him. He is our Father. In Ephesians 3 and 14, it says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Does anybody recognize the name Kennedy? Anybody recognize that name? The last sibling of John F. Kennedy died this morning. And it made the news. Now, she never impacted the world like Robert Kennedy or John Kennedy or Edward Kennedy, however they impacted the world. But she was never famous. But she got a little bit of note in the news because she was attached to somebody that impacted the world. The name means something. The Kennedy name means something. It's influence and power and politics and money and et cetera, et cetera. But you and I have the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You and I have a cause to rejoice because God is our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. My dad doesn't live in a house on top of Mount Scott. My dad doesn't live in the White House. My dad is not a king of this earth, but he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will keep me alive. He will preserve me. He is my Father, which is in heaven. In 1 John 3 and 1, we read, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. You know, most of the world doesn't know who my dad was. Harold Franklin Hansen, he's been gone for it'll be 20 years this fall that he died. He's been gone a long time ago, and they don't know his name. But that doesn't matter to me. He was my father. This world doesn't know Jesus. They don't know our Father like we know our Father. But our Father is a good, good Father. Our Father is a great Father. Has He provided? Has He encouraged you? Has He comforted you? Has He strengthened you? That's our Father, my Father. Verse 2 again. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. He is our Father. And so I speak, I know, mostly to those that are born again of the water and the Spirit. You and I are in need of a source of wisdom because of the struggles of our world. And man's wisdom is not sufficient, but we have a Heavenly Father. When we are in need of a provider and we don't know where the provision is coming ourselves, we have a Heavenly Father. If you're in need of someone to love you and to teach you how to love, there's a Heavenly Father that's ready to teach you. If you are in need of a deliverer and somebody you know is in need of a deliverer and cannot help themselves out, we have a Heavenly Father. He's all of those things. He's not just that, but He's a Savior. He saved me from my self-destructive ways. He saved me from sin and the eternal consequence of sin. And He has the answers. I remember watching an old movie, It's a Wonderful Life. One of the things they had in there was that poster, Ask Dad, right? Ask Dad. I need to ask Dad. Maybe we need to talk to our Father about what's going on in our world and what our response should be. If you're not sure what to do, ask Him and let Him speak to you, and God will give you wisdom. And sometimes Father's answers don't make as much sense as they will later. You see, the answer to our world as you stand is not in loving ourselves. We've been told, and we need to have a good picture of who we are. We shouldn't be beat down. But the answer is not fighting for our own rights or asserting our human authority or becoming more powerful. It's not in human resources at all or found in wealth. We do not possess the power within our finite human resources to overcome the obstacles that are in our path. The answer is found in having the right Father. Who's your daddy? I know, don't go there. But that's what really makes the difference, doesn't it? Who's your Father? There is something that comes along with the fatherhood of Jesus Christ. The Heavenly Father doesn't leave His children, and He reaches to those that do not have a father. You see, the Heavenly Father is willing and ready to step in and fill the ultimate role of provider and protector and guide for you and me. And today, just so you know how I envision this ending, is for all of us that if your family's here, get with your family. If you're here by yourself, just say, okay, God, I'm going to surrender and I'm going to call you dear Father. And I want you to take the position of fatherhood in my life. I want you to say, I'm in charge. There still are some times where I wish I could just ask my dad a question. Say, Dad, what do you think? I can almost hear his voice. But you know, I spent enough time with him and enough conversations on the phone that he really did direct my life and He gave me understanding of what to do. And I realize that now a lot of the things that I do because of my Father. And it's even more pronounced sometimes as I watch my nephew, Philip, and my son, Brandon, and I can see my Father in them. Isn't that uncanny how you can see relatives? I was at a memorial service, I told you yesterday, and I saw a man walk in and I said, that is Brother Swank's brother. Later he got up to speak and he says, yeah, I'm Jimmy's brother. It's not my fault that I look like him. You know, but it was like he even stood like him. Saw him with his hands in his pocket, the way he cocked his head, and even the way he put his hand up to his face like this. Because there's a relationship. Your heavenly Father wants you to believe on Him and in Him. He wants to provide for you. I don't know any good father that when they could give their child something, they didn't want to give their child something. Your heavenly Father and mine can remove darkness and fear out of our life. He can take all of the clouds out of the sky. We can just know He's right there and Father knows best. And our Heavenly Father does know best. And I think today is the time just to open up to Him and say, okay, I'm giving You the place of fatherhood in my life. You said You'd be a father to the fatherless. You said You would keep the fatherless alive and You would be an advocate to the widows. See, the plan of the Heavenly Father is for you and I to surrender to Him and to give way to His authority in our life. The Heavenly Father wants to give His promise to us. Psalm 103 and 10, David writes, He has not punished us for our sins, nor does He deal with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our rebellious acts as far away from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. That's our Father. He says, okay, if we can just look at our Heavenly Father. He created this perfect environment. He set up an authority structure. And then every day He visited them to make sure everything was going all right. God wants to have an encounter with you today. Can we open up our heart to Him and say, Lord, be my Father. Speak to me, Jesus. Take authority in my life. I give it up to You, Lord Jesus. I surrender to You, Heavenly Father. Jesus.